Next presenter is Harold Vinetz, discussing simulation models for nitrogen decision support.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Peter, for organizing this symposium. And I never really actually interacted with Larry. I sort of came out of another sub-discipline, but of course, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of his work and his contributions. So I'm going to talk about models, and I'd like to start out with, you know, Newell's last comment about proximal sensing technology and models, and I think there's great opportunities for matching that. We had a symposium about that last year, and there's lots of potential. John, thanks for this graph. This is John Sawyer's. This is from the Corn Nitrogen Rate Calculation. This is really the challenge. You know, we have so much variability, and such a range in optimum N rates that we're dealing with. And so this is primarily from N response trials, and you can see even within a particular rotation, you may end up having to deal with a lot of variability. Now the question is this purely stochastic, or are there underlying factors that we can use to explain this variability and use it to manage? For example, soil factors or weather factors that have already been mentioned. So this is, if we think in general about all these sources of variability that we're trying to manage, here's a list of them. This audience, I'm sure, is very very familiar with it. And, you know, it's been a little bit more recently that we really found that weather factors are, I wouldn't say dominant, but they are very, very important in this, especially precipitation. The other thing to keep in mind is that there's these complex interactions. Okay, it's very difficult to say when you get, you know, say, 75 millimeters of rain, you need to adjust your rate by this much. It's all very complex, so that sort of leads us to tools like models, or otherwise you go out in the field and you do some measurements, like what Newell was talking about. So one critical concept then that we really started to get interested in back almost by 15 years ago, some of my grad students, Jean Cerbecci and Jason Kahavka, where we looked at N-response trials and we found that we could actually explain the variability to a very large degree by early season weather events, primarily precipitation. And we used a model, and we found that we could actually kind of reproduce that with the model quite well. So we were really pleased for that. But this is the general concept, is that at the beginning of the growing season, or even the fall, prior, you basically have very low predictability. The best you can maybe do is go for an average. But as the season progresses and as these weather events play themselves out and as the planting dates are established, you can really significantly increase that predictability. So by the time you get to late spring, you can actually make a much more precise recommendation, at least in principle. Now, what we've seen also is that this early season weather seems to be changing a little bit. We see more of these heavy precipitation events that are the primary driving factors as these sources of variability. And if you look at corn, what we're focusing on, maize, most of the maize-growing regions are experiencing that. I should note that 1958 was my year of birth, but I had nothing to do with this. It's just a correlation. It's not causation. Although I probably did contribute a little bit to it, as you all did. So we go to model-based end decision tools. That's my assignment here. So basically, we approach the end fertilization challenge as a dynamic decision process based on specific conditions of the field and the growing season. All right. So we recognize that highly dynamic end processes, especially related to precipitation, create unique conditions for optimal end fertilization for each location and time. We call that precision agriculture, right? So, but it's precision agriculture in space and in time that we need to address, which is somewhat different from the more mainstream precision agriculture, like maybe with other nutrients or other inputs, where the temporal component is not as significant. It's strongly data-driven, especially with high-resolution and weather information. You'll see that when I discuss the models. And in most cases, we're now using enhanced communication technology to convey these optimum end rates. In most cases, through cloud-based technologies. Okay, we've all gotten used to. We all have our iPhones, we have our tablets, we have our mobile devices, and we now have this tremendous ability to communicate. So as Newell mentioned, there's a number of tools out there. AdaptN is the one that we developed at Cornell and that has recently been licensed to Agronomic Technology Corporation. The 360 Yield Center has a tool called 360 Commander, formerly called Optimizer. It's an independent company. In terms of the dates, you see we started in 2005, and by 2008 we had a web-based tool. I think 360 Commander, I'm not sure, I think about 2010 it was available. I may be wrong on that. And then, of course, Climate Pro Nitrogen Advisor. Monsanto bought Climate Pro last year for a very large amount of money, and that's created a lot of interest, of course. They developed a Nitrogen Advisor as well, and they announced it last year around this time. In fact, it was, I think, during the meetings, and so they have been in their first growing season. And then DuPont Pioneer developed the Encirca product. I should say that I contacted all of these other companies and asked them for some slides and a little bit of basic background on their models. And they did not respond except one who said just pull the information off the web. So I'm a little constrained in what I can present to you. So a lot of it has basically been pulled off the web. And my best efforts in trying to figure out what their tools are based on. So some of the common features on commercial tools, they tend to have some kind of a mapping soil interface, data input fields. They have models. They're all dynamic simulation models, as far as I can tell. I'm not quite sure. They have a connection with a weather data source. They have reporting pages. Most of them allow for scenario analysis, so you can kind of go back and say, what if, you know. They have at least web-based access. Some of them are truly in the cloud. AdaptN is now truly in the cloud. We're using commercial cloud services. And they have daily reports in most cases, so you get kind of a daily update. And I should say that many of them have some kind of a dashboard that, you know, for a consultant or so, so you can get an overview of all your fields. My university requires me that I put up this slide. I have to disclose to you that I have an interest in AdaptN, both in terms of an equity interest and in terms of them supporting some of the continuing research, because it's a partnership. So just so you know. So what fact? I'll talk about AdaptN first, and then I'll go into the others. There's a lot of similarity to some extent in the models. So we've been at this for a long time, but not necessarily in terms of developing a nitrogen decision tool, but starting with field studies and modeling efforts. But it really came to fruition, you know, about 10 years ago. These are the factors that we incorporate in the model, and I won't go into details. You can look at them. I think you probably all recognize that these are all factors that are probably relevant to making a nitrogen recommendation. It includes an economic component as well, prices and profit risk. Most of the other tools also have some kind of a risk factor. Just a couple of screenshots of our interface. Here's sort of our map and soil-related interface. You make a selection on the soil type, either by textural class or by soil series name. Links back to a soil database that was developed based on NRCS, the Surgo data. Information about drainage, organic matter content, tillage, incorporation of residue, some crop information, cultivar type, planting dates, rotational effects. We account for various rotations. It has a manure component. You know, we initially developed it in New York. We have a lot of dairies, so it has it's quite well developed for manure. It has of course, you have to indicate what nitrogen has already been applied and when, and it has an irrigation application component as well, basically amount and date. So then you automatically get then a recommendation, and you see that on the bottom here. We have a feature, like most of the other ones have, where all these recommendations are generated on a daily basis and get pushed out through an email or a text message or something like that, typically, either to a desktop or a mobile device. So on the bottom here, you see that in this particular case, the recommendation was 140 pounds per acre. And then we try to be as transparent as we can about what sort of generated that recommendation. And so we indicate, you know, how much is needed to grow the crop, how much has been mineralized thus far, how much has been lost, you know, through, say, rainfall events, how much is currently in the crop, at least estimated, how much may be lost future, it's based on 35-year stochastic simulations. We give some information about, you know, the rainfall, how much has already been received since planting or the beginning of the year, what's the current water status in the soil. And we have actually sort of a virtual PSNT component of that as well. And then we give some graphical outputs. Most of the other ones do that as well. So we indicate end losses and precipitation. And then the graph on the right is actually nitrate versus gaseous losses. We'll have nitrous oxide losses coming, basically that's being implemented as we speak almost. And there's a number of other graphs that I won't be necessarily showing you. But just to give you a sense of sort of the type of information. So now I'll continue on to the Climate Pro Nitrogen Advisor. It is part of a broader technology platform, unlike ADAPT-N, which is just focused on nitrogen. It has a field workability feature. It has a lot of weather features, scouting and notes features, and some pest and disease advisors, et cetera. So it's a little bit broader. How does the Nitrogen Advisor work? You can read it. I pulled this off the web. Like I said, I don't really have any insights into the model at all. There's not anything available publicly that I could identify. So here's again a few screenshots. You know, Climate Pro has invested a lot in their weather products, so that's kind of their strength, I would say. At least is what I think how they promote themselves. And so they have a number of these, you know, very nice weather-related features, you know, that's with purportedly very high granularity. This is you can probably not read it. Again, I had to actually pull this off a video from their YouTube video from their website, but I just wanted to show you a little bit. But so there's information here on soil type. You know, textural class, pH, organic matter, and CEC. And then on the bottom there, it indicates the nitrogen that has already been applied in the fall or the spring or citrus. And so, it's very similar to what ADAPT-N does. So, and you'll see a lot of those similarities. Here's a screenshot then that indicates how much available N there is and how much is how much basically the recommendation is. All right, and so again, a lot of similarity. Here's some graphical outputs. I would say Climate Pro puts also a lot of emphasis on the economics of it. So we're sort of indicating, you know, we estimate that you're going to be benefiting by $128 an acre or something like that. So they have really built some strength in that particular feature. And then they similarly have some graphical outputs on simulated end losses and crop use. Okay, so you can see that there's kind of a common theme there. So let's go to Pioneer's product and Circa, also part of a broader platform. They are collaborating with D&T, the Progressive Farmer, on high-resolution weather data, and they're collaborating, at least according to their website, with the University of Missouri on what they call environmental management units. I think they're investing a lot in kind of more detailed soil databases. So this is a picture that they have in one of their 5 minutes that they have in one of their publications on basically, again, a higher granularity soil database that they are incorporating into their tool. Similar type interfaces with indicators of sort of what the nitrogen status of the field is and how much might be needed. Again, here the red, yellow, green indicates sort of the nitrogen status over time and where you are currently and where you would end up if you don't intervene. 360 Commander, then actually much less information on them. There's really not that much available, but they have been around for a while. Also part of a broader platform. You can see Again, similar features in the tool. It's part of the 360 Yield Center. And all I can show you is just a couple of interface slides. I don't really have anything else. I think you kind of get the idea of what they're trying to do. It's again, same idea. We don't really know anything about what the underlying models are. So then I quickly want to touch on sort of downloadable software. So this is not web-based, not in cloud, and they're not sort of real-time tools. But one is Mazen from the University of Nebraska, and Haishan did provide me with some slides. So thank you. And another tool that I'm familiar with is actually called AmazeN, a little confusing, that's being used in New Zealand. So this is the decision-making process in Mazen. It's a little bit more transparent about what they're doing. Of course, the Nebraska group has traditionally had a very strong crop modeling component, so I think I'd say that's their strength. It also includes manure, like AdaptN. That's an important component. Just some screenshots. I would say that Mazen is very detailed, It's probably very good for researchers and practitioners because of the level of detail and information that it provides. So not only an optimum end rate, but also recovery efficiency information and all that, I think is very nice. And it allows some graphical outputs like losses and mineralization, et cetera, as well as a way to explore different scenarios by putting in different, you know, yield goals and things like that. This is Mazen. It's actually fairly simple. It's what I thought it was worth mentioning. So do the models work? Have they been well calibrated? What's the quality of the input data? Have there been independent field validation and user experience? And have they worked out the bugs? Those are all important factors. I'm going to talk a little bit about AdaptN because it's really the only one where I had data available, of course. But this is sort of what we can say in terms of total nitrogen applied. We had an overall decrease by basically being more precise. In drier years, you put on less, and in wet years, you may be putting on a little bit more. You see on the right there, when we put on more, those are basically wet years. And in the middle graph, you see that the yields justified those higher end rates by and large. But in most cases, we reduce the N rates and with relatively limited profit loss. So in most cases, we increased our profits by doing this. So this is based on 3 years of data in New York and Iowa, 104 strip trials. So environmental benefits, well, overall, we can say we reduced the leaching losses by 24% and the total N losses by 25%. And that's based on farmers who were already basically site dressing, so already optimizing their timing. So we're pretty pleased with that. It's not perfect, but models can do well. Both ClimatePro and Circa show some of their simulation analysis. It's basically sort of before they put the tool out, they did some scenario analysis to see what the potential benefits of those tools would be. And I'm running out of time, but I do want to acknowledge that they've done some of that work. I haven't seen anything in terms of field validation. But of course, the tools have been rolled out only recently. So bottom line, model-based tools incorporate N dynamics into recommendations that are site and time specific. And I'd say at relatively low cost, you don't have to actually go out into the field, which is also, of course, one of the drawbacks. You're not out in the field. Okay. So they're models, and they're based on inputs. Using weather, soil, and management data, but somewhat variable capabilities. They take advantage of these advanced communication and information technologies, especially when they go into the cloud. They can significantly increase profits while reducing environmental impacts, at least in one case. We've been able to show that. But there is very variable transparency and insights on model specifics, okay, or scientific validation. We don't know that much about that. You know, the industry has basically really become engaged in this, and it's not quite as transparent. So I think we will have to get used to that reality. So thank you very much.